Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Not So Beautiful Game podcast, hosted by myself, Birdie, Jordan.
Hello.
Nick.
All right.
And we are joined by a very special guest today because we have former Academy, Notts County Academy goalkeeper, Charlie Carter.
Hi, all right. Thank you for having me on.
No worries. Our pleasure. In this episode, we're going to be going over the starting stages of getting scouted and being in an academy as a young person and what it's like and the pressures on it. So, Charlie, let's get started with you. So how and what age were you when you first got scouted?
Look, I think 10.
So you were 10. It was Notts County, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. So, I played for a team called Attenborough Colts at the time. Like, as you know, Bird, there was the Blues and the Yellows. And we were like an average Division 1 Saturday side, like finished like 5th, 6th, like mid-table sort of thing. And I can't remember the exact game where I got scouted, but it was like a 6-week trial. During the trial period, like obviously I was allowed to carry on playing for Attenborough on the Saturday and the county played on the Sundays. So it was like, it was quite a shock really, because I remember vaguely going to my first training session on a Wednesday night, train twice a week, once on a Monday, once on a Wednesday, and then play games on Sundays. And on the Wednesday, like getting given this letter thing saying Grimsby town away, and like had a list of all different things to bring with you and stuff, and then like eat this before the game. So it's quite like a culture shock really, going from just turning up 30 minutes before on Saturday, before having to get at Meadow Lane at about 8 o'clock on Sunday morning to travel on a coach down to Grimsby. So like from the start it was a bit of like a shock, but at the same time it's something that you do look forward to. Well, I did anyway.
Yeah, because I'd say for a 10-year-old, I could imagine when you get a letter, you've always probably dreamed of being a footballer when you're that age. It's either an astronaut or a footballer or something like that, isn't it? Something that you think is that you can't gain. And so what was it like when the actual training, when you were there at Notts County?
The training was quite intense, really. Like, say for me too, because like I played in goal. Like we trained for an hour and a half. Like I'd have like 45 minutes an hour goalkeeper training separate, which was great obviously, because like got to go in goal, didn't have to do like passing drills or other things with like outfield players. But yeah, the training was intense. There was a lot of footwork though and stuff. So yeah, there was passing drills, but it's just separate from the outfield players. And even in training, like it was like quite intense. It was like there wasn't really like the chance sort of thing to like make a mistake and get away with it without anyone saying anything. And this was like from like the first week going, so like there was no like being like eased into it. I just went in straight over and like got trained and said hello to everyone, and then that was it. But then occasionally, like, this is after I signed, so after the trial, I can't remember the name of the company, but it was like it was like a third party company who would come in, and like it was like every like, I don't know, like 3 months sort of thing, and they would like take all your data, so like body fat, you do sprints, do cameras, time sprints, bleep tests, stretching, and they gave you this login thing online where outside of training, like once a day, you had to log in and monitor like your stretches, your progress and stuff like that. So stuff like that in terms of like having your body fat measured, how tall you are, and being recorded on like your flexibility and stuff. It's like quite...
This is 10 years old?
Yeah.
It's quite hot for a 10-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like quite a big...
Were you shocked yourself when they came in and went, oh, we just have to get a few measurements of your body fat when you're 10 years old? You probably don't even know what body fat is. You're probably just going, just playing football for the love of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, you know that they were coming in, and like you just do like it was like for one session, like every 3 or 4 months, like I was saying. They'll come in, take all your stuff, and like, I just remembered like thinking, oh, I really don't want to, because obviously you want to play football, don't you? You don't want to like go running, and especially as playing in goal. Like that's why I started playing in goal. So yes, it was quite a shock too. But like I said, it's all, it was like, there's almost on the flip side to it, like a an element of like, well, wow, like you hear they're doing this, it's like quite professional, I guess, if that makes sense. I know you're only 10, but
yeah, like, it makes you feel like, oh, I could actually be, if they're taking all this data, like I must be good. I must be something.
Yeah, like that, exactly.
But I want to open the floor up to Jordan. You were also in an academy, weren't you, at Coventry?
I was going to say, when I was 8, I was in at Birmingham for about a year or so. And I remember at that age as well, there was a lot of sort of the football science side to it, where you're doing stretches and they monitor your progress and things like that. And you just think, what's going on here? I just want to play football. So, yeah, that certainly resonates with me. I was just going to say, that sort of professionalism side to it at such a young age put you off wanting to play football, or put you off going to Notts County to train and play games? Did you prefer playing with your local side instead at times?
Definitely, like playing on like a Saturday morning with your mates, it was a lot more enjoyable. But like at like the same time, it was like a great like opportunity, I guess, going and playing for like a actual like proper club. But yeah, in terms of like by the end of the, like when I left like county, and like playing academy football, it's nowhere near as enjoyable as playing with your mates. Like everything like gets picked up on, like, I don't know what it was like at Birmingham, but like at like where I was, it was like everything you did. So say for example, we had to like try and play out from the back every time. Even if like say for example they'd like pressed high, and like say if like no one was on and like you ended up like kicking it long or something, you'd have like a grown man like shouting at you, and like you're about 10. It's just like a massive culture shock, really, I guess.
Yes, yeah, it's a cutthroat sort of business, isn't it? You're a kid, basically, and you're thrown in at this sort of culture shock, like you say, of having to do things different ways. We just want to play football. And that's the problem, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I guess, like, there must be quite a few people who, like, naturally are, like, more than talented enough to play, like, a decent professional level of football, but get their confidence absolutely shattered at a young age. And then end up just falling out of love with the game and like giving up and like not really wanting to play anymore. Like it'd be like, obviously, I guess there's no like qualitative data to like measure this sort of thing, but like you can imagine like quite a few people who say if like they had, if they were managed differently, would have ended up having like a decent career. But because of how it was, they ended up not wanting, not looking forward to it, and then like just gave up playing football.
Yeah. So do you think that like, you were kind of treated, because obviously the officials and the people who are running the academy, they sound really like statistic orientated. They just love the numbers. Do you feel like you were maybe just counted as a statistic rather than an actual, a 10-year-old boy?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, like in that whole thing to do with like measurements and like progress, it was all like physical sort of thing, like, okay, so you previously were able to, like, I don't know, stretch X amount of centimetres. Yeah. By next time, we want you to do this. So you can do this, we'll give you, like, X, Y, and Z to do at home.
Yeah.
And there was never really, like, any sort of, like, mental health sort of approach at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's changed now or not. I'm not sure. But, yeah, when I was there, it was, like you said, yeah, it was, like, very cutthroat sort of like take no prisoners sort of like approach to everything, I guess.
So was there any sort of system where if you didn't do these training exercises or at home, you know, if you didn't do these home exercises, would you get told off? Would you be, you know, was there like a, oh, if you do this again, you'll be out sort of thing, like discipline? How was that in the academy?
So what they used to do was, like alongside like this sports science aspect to it, like twice a season at Christmas time, and then by the end of the season you'd do a review. So throughout like say like the 6 months or whatever before Christmas, then like the rest of the season to like May sort of time, like you'd be watched and like assessed like on how you were, how much you progressed, if you didn't progress as much as you should, etc. And like when it came to these assessments, you had like a, they'll give you like a sheet, and it would say like it would have loads, like a range of different attributes listed on it. Like, say, for example, like the ones I can remember, like I had a different one because I played in goal to what other people had. Mm-hmm. And it would say like shot stopping, catching, positioning, decision making, stuff like that. And you had to grade yourself either like A, B, C, or D. And so like A was like excellent, B was good, C was satisfactory, and D was like requires improvement. And so you'd like fill it in yourself, like to see what how you think you are. And then like your coaches would also fill it into. So you'd have your column, you'd fill in your column, and they'd fill in their column. And like you'd look at it eventually and like see like disparity between the two, whether they agreed with you. And then like when it came to the actual assessments, like they were at Medellin. So like you'd come in, you'd have a time slot, you'd turn up, like it was all like corporate, I guess, in terms of thing, like a job interview sort of thing. You'd go in like with like your parent or like parents or like whoever your guardian is or whatever. When like the coach would be there like in a suit and stuff, and then they'd go through it, like say, okay, so next 4 months, whatever, we want you to be here, or like, sorry, we're not deciding to keep you on, like we're gonna let you go. Yeah, so like that's like how like the discipline sort of side to it was. And it was also like you'd be like you turned up late, they like even if it wasn't your fault, because obviously you're 10, you're relying on someone else to get there. So if you turned up late, you wouldn't like be able to play at the weekends and stuff. Yeah, I guess it's like trying to like just integrate this whole thing to you from an early age. It's not a sport designed for you to have fun. It's like it's a professional business, if that makes sense.
To me, it's almost seeming like they're trying to make or break you from like a young age to see if you've really got, it's not really much about your technical side, it's about your physical and mental really side and whether you can live up to that. And I don't know whether, I mean, obviously you and Jordan have good experience of that. Me and Nick, coming from an outsider's perspective, it had never been in an academy. Like, I don't know about you, Nick, but I think this is quite, not shocking, I wouldn't say that because I could imagine these things go on, but to see that they put so much pressure on a 10 or an 11 year old, yeah, and they make you fill in sheets to see it. And if you have a false confidence about where you are, and if you think you're improving, then your coaches can just shatter that.
Yeah, it does seem really, I wouldn't say inhumane, but it seems like they're putting a lot of stress on someone who maybe only wants to play football as a passion rather than anything else.
I mean, at that age, Charlie, and I can say this to you as well, Jordan, because you were both in academies at that age, was that the thing you wanted to do? Did you want to be a professional footballer, or were you just going with the flow?
I guess at that age, yeah, like I did want to be a professional footballer. I like, it's like one of these things now, like I've said this before to people, like when I like sit down now and look back, like although at the time, like you didn't enjoy it, everything about it, but there were still aspects to it you'd enjoy, if that makes sense. Like as a goalkeeper, like having like that specialized like goalkeeper coach and stuff like that was quite enjoyable and stuff. And also like it was like upsetting and there was like a lot of pressure on you, but I guess it was like a good experience too at the same time. I found it like that anyway. Like it made you I guess it depends how people react to it. Like in terms of like getting shouted, that sort of thing, I guess going forward, that made me more mentally robust, I guess. But on like the flip side to it, like someone else could react differently. They could end up like getting really down, like upset. Yeah, like it's like, I don't know what they're doing now, like I said, but I guess there needs to be some sort of personal approach, not like one size fits all. Like, I guess there's some players who'd react better to having an arm around them rather than getting shouted at for, like, not doing something right, if that makes sense.
So you feel like there could be more man management within academies?
Yeah. I guess so. That was my experience. But like I said, I don't know what they're like now.
Okay, what do you think, Jordan?
Yeah, I'd say that the professionalism side of it is so important when you get to a certain age, but until you reach that sort of 16, 17, 18 year old sort of age, that sort of aspect shouldn't really be involved. You shouldn't be 8, 9, 10 years old being given workouts to do, because you've still not finished growing yet. You've still not gone through puberty and things like that. So there's a lot of time for your body to change and develop, and for the academies to give you programs and sort of put pressure on you to do it is a bit wrong. Like Nick said, it's not inhumane necessarily, but it's not quite right. I noticed that there are academies like down in Southampton, for example, and they're quite well known for producing a lot of good players. And I know that at a young age, you try to create an environment where players feel free to express themselves and play football and not put pressure on to do all these things. So I think it just goes to show that that is the best approach, and to put pressure on players at such a young age is not the right thing to do, because you're actually making players play within themselves and actually as just as people, making 10-year-olds feel within themselves because they're worried about doing a certain amount of press-ups, a certain amount of sit-ups, having to stretch a certain amount, this, that, and the other. So, yeah, that's what I'd say.
I reckon a lot of young players end up falling out of love with the game because of things like that. So if they can't complete a task or whatever, I reckon there's a lot more than we think will drop out of academies.
Because, yeah, I mean, to be a top professional, you've kind of got to have it all. You've got to have the determination to get there, the talent, as well as the mental toughness. And not many people possess all three at once, especially at such a young age, to try and get to the top. I wanted to ask this question to you both as well. Do you think the academy's patience is too thin when it comes to young people?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. For example, the top level of professional sport, players out of form, they're given time to earn their way back into the team. They're dropped maybe, but they train hard and they can come back into the team. They're given plenty of time. When you're a kid in an academy, you have two or three bad games and that's it. You're gone. Someone else comes in because there's always someone else who they can bring in. So I think it's, like I said earlier, really cutthroat.
So, Charlie, I wanted to ask you about, when you were released from Notts County, how did you take that? How did that affect you?
I was, really upset at the time. I vaguely remember finding out on a Monday evening after I finished school. And, I guess this demonstrates how cutthroat the whole industry was in terms of, I didn't get told in person. My dad got a phone call. They didn't even say to me, we're doing this, this is why. They went through my dad. So, it's almost like they've got that whole sort of, personal meetings with you whilst you're there, whilst you're, doing your assessment and stuff like that, while you're there. But then as soon as they, didn't want me anymore, it was, literally, we won't even tell him in person. Will call up his dad and then get his dad to tell him. So it's almost like that, despite the fact you've been here for 3 or 4 years, we're not even going to tell you in person. We're just going to tell you through someone else. And again, I guess that was quite hard to take, the way that they did it, as well as the fact that they did it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because I'm going to imagine using your dad as a middleman kind of as well to the fact you didn't even, did you even get told the main reasons why you were released and things like that?
They said that because of my height. I don't know if that's true or not. If they said that to make it seem to me that there was nothing else I could have done about it. But yeah, they said because how tall I was at the time, which doesn't really make sense because I was 13, 14. So when you're 13, 14, how do they know what height you're going to end up being and stuff? But yeah, I vaguely remember after they told me on the Monday. I went to training on the Wednesday just to say bye to the people who I played with and stuff. And this demonstrates how much football is a game of opinions. The coaches I had for the first 2 years I was there, called Raj and Ben, and they spoke to me after. They were I'm really sorry, mate. We're really surprised this has happened. We really rated you. We didn't think it would end up going this way. And I remember Raj, I think it was, gave me different contact details of people at Stoke and Burton and other clubs. I know Burton's not at the time, I don't know if it is now, at the time it wasn't an academy, but it was a decent non-league setup. But the coaches who I was with at the time, ones who decided to release me on that Wednesday night, they didn't even say anything to me. Like, even when, like, I've came in to say, like, thank you, whatever, like, to people I played with, see you later, good luck, whatever. And, like, I guess that's quite telling, really, where, like, the people who I had in the year before, in, like, the 2 years before the year I got released, they, like, went, I know it's, like, not much out of the way, but they still did come over to me and gave me numbers and said this, 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 and this. Whereas the people who were actually, like, responsible for me didn't say anything. So I guess there's like a lack of like, I don't know, duty of care, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I suppose on their part, though, they almost think, you know, they've got to be that way inclined, haven't they? They've got to be, because the amount of kids they must say bye to, like, even on the daily, probably.
Yeah.
Like, they've got to be almost, like, shut that emotional side off, I guess. As well, like, the fact that they're the ones that make decisions, but those that know you the best, they might not have had a say in any of it. That just might go to prove it's more of a statistic-based sort of thing, especially if they quoted your height.
Yeah.
They probably looked at a goalkeeper, thought, oh, he's way too short right now to be a goalkeeper, and they went, right, we've got no other choice, rather than seeing the talent and looking through that.
Yeah, no, that's, like, I guess it's different for a goalkeeper because, like, you have to, like, have that element of height to be a goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. Do you know, if you, like, look at players in Spain, like, you get, like, a lot more smaller, say, like, midfielders and stuff like that, like, whereas in this country, they seem to go for more, like, the physical 6'2" runner rather than, like the 5'7" sort of, like, player sort of thing. Like, to be, like, that small, to make it, like, in this sort of environment, you have to be absolutely exceptional. Whereas, do you know, like, say, in, like, another country, like, because they see how talented you are, they may put more time and effort into you because the talent over the physicality. Like, say, like, particularly now, like, non-league and stuff, like, even, like, non-league level, like, all the players are massive, like, 6'2", 6'1". And, like, if you look at, like, counties level, most of the players are, like, 6 foot plus.
And, feel like our grassroots game almost try to fit like a Burnley quota, you know, Burnley type football, you know, 4-4-2, long ball, route one. You know what I mean? Is that the sort of player they're trying to mould the physicality into?
I guess so. Even at academies, though, it was like all like pass move, like that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, like if you end up looking at first teams and stuff in this country, like I'm sure like the vast majority of people are like over 6 foot. But like you may get like the winger or something like that, but you know, like for like the core of the spine of the team, like the centre mid, the centre back, the goalkeeper, there has to be that, like, or like they look for that physical sort of nature as well. Like think of some like professional footballers, obviously they're like very good, but you look at them and you think, oh, if he wasn't 6'2", there's no way he would play at that level. Like,
that's the approach that they take, you think?
Yeah, like that's what it seemed to be. But like at the end of the day, footballers are athletes, and like being tall, being strong, being big, it helps you to be like a top athlete. So I understand it at the same time, but like I guess it could be like a element of letting players, like watching them for longer, letting them mature more, and seeing how they end up, rather than just like being like, oh, you've not hit like the 5 centimeter growth, whatever, for the year. So, like,
what's your take on this, Jordan?
Yeah, I agree that the height thing, I think, is just a silly argument. It works both ways as well, because you have players that are small but really good technical players who should be playing academy football but just don't get picked up because of their height, or they get picked up in the academy because of how good they are, but 18 months on the line they get released again because of the height. But then you've also got the lads who are 6'5" at 17 years old getting picked up because of their height but aren't necessarily the greatest footballers, and they try and coach on the football and realise actually they're not good footballers, but they've picked them up because of their athletic ability, which is quite a dangerous game really, because you're sort of making the sport less about the skill and more about the physical side of it. Which is what I completely agree with Charlie there, because over in other countries, they just look at the football, how you play football, how good you are, not the other things necessarily. And they try and help you with those things, but it should come down ultimately to how good you are at football, not your height, your strength, your speed, things like that.
I mean, it makes you wonder, doesn't it, why they say we haven't won much as a country, when do you think it's something, do you think the problem is deep lying? It's under-rooted in the academies maybe, and how they, you know, what they look for in a player and how they coach that. There could be a correlation.
Yeah, there's starting to see it more now lately, that there's a few more players with more technical ability coming through and who aren't necessarily the tallest as well. Like players like Phil Foden, for example, coming through. So maybe it's starting to change, but yeah, it's something that probably should have happened a long time ago, actually, really.
Yeah, I mean, one example I like to use is you look at a player like Scott McTominay. Before he made his first team debut that summer, he grew 7 inches to his 6'4". Exactly. So imagine if he was released 2 years back for, you know, maybe not having the physical attributes, and he grows that in one summer. And then all of a sudden, he's now ready. It poses a question.
It's the same as them players. You know, you look at Andy Robertson, David Silva. They were both let go early on, told by big clubs that they weren't going to be a professional footballer purely on because they were too small. And then now, one of them's the best attacker mid to ever play in the Premier League. And then the other's the best left-back in the Premier League at the minute.
Thank you very much for your time, Charlie. We're going to keep you here for one of our segments that we've got this week. So you can gladly sit back, contribute, whatever you want. But we're doing an Academy 11. What we're doing is we're taking players that got released from an academy throughout their career and made their way back to the top level, to the Premier League, through non-league and their journey. So I know you boys have been making a few notes on who you want in your team. So Jordan, we're doing the goalkeeper and the defenders today. So we're playing a 4-4-2, traditional. You got to play that if you're playing the English way. So Jordan, who have you got?
In goal, it's actually a bit of a tough one, actually. I've gone, it's between, for me, Nick Pope and Joe Hart.
I think if you look at the whole career, you've probably just got to go Joe Hart in goal because of his, well, he's won the league, won the Premier League, played for England many times. I think Nick Pope, obviously, right now is a better goalkeeper, but he's just not done as much in his career as Joe Hart, I'd say.
Well, I mean, luckily, we've got a former academy goalkeeper with us. Who do you think, Charlie? Nick Pope and Joe Hart?
Nick Pope and Joe Hart, like,
yeah.
On the whole of it, like, I'd probably say, like, Jordan, Joe Hart. Like, he's had a great career, like, won the Prem, won a lot of, like, other trophies, like, and, like, again, like what Jordan said, played for England, like, a lot of times, like, he was, like, the main choice, wasn't he, for, like, a good number of years, and, like, no one ever really came close to him.
And so, he's also got a cracking ability at shouting at ball boys, hasn't he? With all of it, so you got to love that. What about your back four? What's everyone got?
Chris Smalling's got to be in there, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Chris Smalling, good lad.
Yeah, him, even when he was at Fulham, he was still a great player.
Tyrant,
yeah. Good shout.
I'd say, anyone got any fullbacks?
I mean, it depends if we're staying in England or if we can go into Scotland a little bit as well, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I know Nick and Jordan are sniffing for Andy Robertson, but I'm going to take it.
The Queen's Park's finest.
I couldn't think of any right backs. So I've gone for a left back. As a right back, I've gone for Neil Taylor.
you know what I'm going to do? Instead of putting a full back there, I'm going to stick Max Kilman right back.
Yeah.
You used to play futsal, didn't he?
In 10 years' time. Listen to the podcast in 10 years' time, and then that'll be a great shout, I reckon.
Max Kilman, England's number one.
Matty Cash at right back, because he got released from Wickham and then went to like one of them football scouting days and got picked up by Forest. Villa.
I tell you what.
All right, I've crossed my right back out. My Cash is
I'll buy Matty Cash.
That's it. Yeah,
he's a brilliant player, Matty Cash. I mean, he's
still missing.
Yeah, as Charlie knows, Forest fans, we are sitting down in 20th, looking at Matty Cash tearing up the Premier League, thinking, "What's going on?"
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
But so Joe Hart's nailed on in there, I think. Yeah. You know, what he's done, I know he hasn't really, he's a bit of a fossil now. He hasn't really evolved with the modern game, but he's in there. Then right back, if people listen to this and can find a better right back than Matty Cash at the moment, then please send us your inquiries. We'd love to hear them. Chris Smalling nailed on for a centre-half position. So like, he's been at the top level for a while. Left back, we will accept Andy Robertson with a lot of, even though I'm gritting my teeth saying that, we will accept him.
Tyrone Mings.
Put it this way, I reckon this team, as it's shaping up, is finishing mid-table.
Push for Europa League.
Yeah, well, I honestly can't wait to see who we put in charge of this team. Yeah, that'll be coming in a future episode.
That'll be Warnock.
We won't go there. I'm sure there's a lot of options to be explored. So I think that rounds everything up for the first episode. So thank you, boys. Thank you, Charlie, for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, our pleasure. We will see you in the next episode.
Right, so let's have a look at the first inductees into the Academy 11. Starting with the goalkeeper, it had to be Joe Hart, didn't it? Two Premier League titles, over 100 clean sheets in the Premier League, and 75 England caps. What a player. It's a shame he fell off the face of the earth, all because he couldn't use his feet. At right back, we have Sir Matthew Cash III. Maybe that's a bit too far. But the man with the best hair in the Premier League holds a special place in my heart, having came through the ranks at my beloved Nottingham Forest. Now becoming a mainstay at Villa, could the man who got released by Wickham become an England international? Moving to Cash's teammate, Tyrone Mings, who was released by Southampton and plied his trade at Chippingham Town before rising up the leagues. A revelation for Villa since he signed, and he has 8 England caps to his name. Can anyone really see him going to the Euros though? Mings' centre-back partner is none other than the soft-spoken Londoner Chris Smalling. Tipped for stardom at Manchester United, it wasn't all an easy path for Mr. Smalling, who was released by Millwall and played for Maidstone United in the National League. And finally, it pains me to say as a Manchester United fan, but it's Andy Robertson, who has blossomed into the best left-back in the world. Released by Celtic as a youngster, the fiery Scot went to bottom tier of Scottish football with Queen's Park, then Dundee and Hull, before his meteoric rise to prominence at Liverpool. Premier League, Champions League, he's won it all. And as his Twitter bio says, made in Scotland, found in Liverpool. That completes the first instalment of the Academy 11. Be sure to tune in to episode 2, where we have special guest Shaurus Ainslie to compare the differences between English and American academies. Thank you for watching.